Jesus has been praying in the garden with his disciples, and they all must have been very worried. Jerusalem, well, a big city in Palestine for those days, was a big city in the way small towns can be big cities. Everyone still sort of knew everyone. You could find someone you had in common with most people, and everyone knew what was going on. The rumor mill ran through every quarter of town, and everyone knew that something was up. Even if, like Jesus and his disciples, you had only come to town for Passover. Maybe, especially if, like Jesus and the disciples, you have only come to town for Passover, because Jesus has been saying increasingly strange things. He's been talking about death and being lifted up. He's been telling stories that are increasingly disturbing. I mean, he always tells sort of weird stories and they make your brain hurt. But they're sort of fun stories. And lately they've been less and less fun and more dark and sad. They make you scared. And here you are in town. You're a stranger, so you know there are rumors, and you hear sort of the corners of them, and you see everyone pointing at you. You know these rumors are about your friend, your teacher. You start to worry that maybe all of these strange and dark stories, these things you wish Jesus would stop talking about death, about things coming to an end and changing, have something in common with these rumors. And then there was dinner. That was weird. The bread and the wine. I mean, the washing your feet thing was sort of touching, but the bread and the wine was a little unsettling. Now you're in this garden. Jesus often goes away to pray, so that's not so uncommon, but stay awake while I pray, but that's a whole new thing. Judas ran off by himself a while ago, and you don't really know what's up with that. And then the soldiers show up. And all of a sudden, Peter has a sword. When did he put a sword on? Has he always had a sword? Were you not paying attention? Did he go out and get that when you were getting stuff for Passover? Something has changed, and you don't like that. Servants, ear has fallen off and there's blood everywhere. And Jesus isn't happy about this. You think maybe there's a lot more to be unhappy about than someone losing an ear. I mean, that's not great, but Jesus getting arrested seems like that could lead to a lot worse things. As the soldiers and the rumors and everything Jesus has been saying are starting to stack up together into a story that's going to end really badly. But Jesus is your teacher, your friend. You have followed him for 3 years. You have listened to stories that have started to make increasing amounts of sense. You have trusted him. You left everything for this crazy adventure to follow him. And if even facing all of these soldiers and the chief priests, he says no weapons, he has to know something you don't know, right? And as you watch them take away your friend and your teacher. That's what you hold on to. As the colossal injustice sets in, you keep thinking, Jesus, this is Jesus, though. He has to know something I don't know. No weapons, no fighting. We keep following. But maybe not right now. Do you look around at your friends? None of you seem to be able to move in this moment. Do you follow? Those were soldiers. Something really bad is about to happen. You don't want it to happen to you, too. Peter. But you've kind of learned not always to trust Peter's first instinct by now. Peter follows. But the rest of you sort of scatter out of the garden. You leave, looking over your shoulder, hoping no one is following you. Hoping that you aren't going to get caught and arrested too. This moment with Peter and Jesus and Malchus, the high priest's slave, where they have come with all of these soldiers prepared for a fight, and Jesus chooses not to fight. It's so easy to read past that. It appears in all four Gospels, and I think it says much that in the midst of all of the injustice around Jesus' death, a death that is violent and full of suffering, he actively says that he will not respond in kind, and sort of chastises his followers from joining in. There's a note in the rubrics that I want to close with. Reads, the term the Jews in St. John's Gospel applies to particular individuals and not to the whole Jewish people. Insofar as we ourselves turn against Christ, we are responsible for his death. How many times have we not succeeded in failing to participate in systems of violence and injustice? How many times have we been Peter with the sword in the garden? Amen.